All right. We're going to look at Galatians. And I'm going to start in Galatians 4:21. Our whole religion is built on either commands or laws, or it's built on promises, which he keeps on your behalf. So our religion is crazy. It's completely crazy because every other religion is built on pleasing God. You doing something. You making a sacrifice, offering, worship, atonement, paying for all your sins. Ours is the only religion that starts with the gift first.
Hallelujah.
The prize first. It's amazing because that makes me happy. I tell you, that makes me happy. Because then I don't have to get it. It's already gotten. And I have it just by reading. It's already mine. That's amazing. So the very first sermon of Jesus was on happiness. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are those that are poor in spirit. And so it's combining two things that do not produce happiness. Mourning. People speaking evil against you falsely on my account. All those things do not require happiness. But in our case, they do because Jesus did them for us. That's amazing. So you can either build your religion predicated, founded on God's grace and mercy, me, or you can build it on you behaving yourself. You, anybody who's listening, you can do it if you can. Bet you can't. Bet you can't. Because you have to be perfect. Have to be perfect. So, all of those movements before me, before my time, were built on commands, laws, rules, moral, nice, behave. I'm opposite. I don't believe that is God's word. I don't believe that's God's will. Now, I need to prove that. Well, as Protestants, we get to prove it out of the Bible. As Catholics, they try to prove it out of tradition because they don't want to prove it out of the Bible, because the Bible doesn't say what they say. It says, not behave yourself, but Jesus behaved for you. Ha! Ha! That makes me happy. That is a guarantee of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Of course, everyone that doesn't agree with me is doomed. They are. Not because God doomed them. They doomed themselves by the choices they made. I think God is mad and you have to please him. Otherwise, he'll get you. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Even though I had three fathers, I don't believe that. Now, I didn't know any of them, really. Because I didn't want to. I like being kind of on my own. Not having any love. I didn't want any love. I hated love. I didn't trust it. So I was just looking out for myself. And then one day I met Jesus and rejected him over and over and over and over and over again. Christians were hypocrites and they didn't even believe what the Bible said. And if I ever become a Christian, I said to myself, which I don't intend to do because they're miserable. I'm having a ball. I'm doing everything I want. But if I ever became a Christian, I wouldn't be a hypocrite. And the minute Jesus met me, the second he met me, I realized I will be a hypocrite. Because I can't live the holy life. I can't do that. I'd be a liar if I said, I am now a Christian and I'm going to live a holy life. I'm so used to the other. It's not the habit. I'm used to lying, cheating, stealing, conning people. I'm used to tricking everybody because that's my name, James. Yaakov, which in Hebrew means supplanter or cheat or liar or someone that's no good. That was me. That was me. And I had no conscience. I had no guilt whatsoever. If I did, I didn't know about it. I blunted that early on. But I don't remember blunting it. God wasn't real. It is irrelevant to me. I'm making my own way. I'm going to do it my own way. But the more I read the Bible, it messed me up. Kind of ruined all my happiness and joy in being proud and arrogant, wanting to be emperor of the world, and so on and so forth. Because no one was worshiping me, really. No one was, you know, looking up to me as an anything more than a zero. And so I wasn't a football player. I wasn't, you know, anything worthwhile. And my mom, which I didn't know about at that time, tried to abort me 4 times. You know, she's no good because she couldn't do it. She didn't know how to do it right. She had all these tricks that grandmother showed her. You don't get rid of that baby, you're going to be tied down for the rest of your life. Get rid of him. You're a clever girl. Graduated from high school, 17 high schools, 17 high schools in Chicago.
Wow.
17 in 3 years. She was the top of the top of the top. And yet she had agoraphobia. Every time she'd get on a taxi cab or ride in a bus, she'd have to throw up. She hated people. She was scared of people. She didn't want to be in public. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know. I didn't ever ask her that. But I did know that she barely made it, but she did well for herself. She had a career ahead of her. And she should have been, you know, should have said one of those women that want to be great in their own eyes. She could have been, but too bad for the throw-up thing. And so, fortunately, there were no men around. First man, one night stand. Second man only lasted a couple of years. Third man endured, but he was Adolf Hitler as far as I was concerned, because he wanted me to behave. He wanted me to do my duty. He wanted me to, you know, be civilized or something. I was a barbarian. But nobody knew because I was a loner. Meaning, I had friends galore, but I didn't trust any of them. I just wanted to be their leader. But I wanted to be ruler. A ruler of the universe.
Sounds good.
Yeah? You know, why not? It's just a choice. Okay, I'll be the ruler of the universe. Which was total imagination. And now that I'm a Christian, fell in love with Jesus, a miracle. Because I was the last person on earth that would have believed in God. I was doing well without him. I didn't need him. I could lie, cheat, and steal without his help. So I want to read to you about the promises we live by. You didn't make them. You're not a promiser. You're not a promise keeper. You're a promise breaker. So everything you vow to do, you ain't doing it. Never been happened. Not in God's sight anyway. I mean, people do their own thing and say it's God, but it's not. It's just them. It's just them. It's just them. Man in his best state is all together. That's funny. God wrote that. Man in his best state is all together. Nothing. Zero. When you're your best, that is moral people, nice people, religious people, Catholics and Jews and Christians that are serious and so on and so forth, they're nothing to God. As a matter of fact, he hates them. He doesn't hate them, but he hates their sinfulness in trying to establish their own righteousness. But I always knew I was a jerk. I always knew I was bluffing. I always knew I was a phony, a fake, and I just made up my... I just made everything up in the last second. I was spontaneous. In this group, don't swear. These church people say Jesus or something. In this group, you can swear all day long. In this group, I don't even know who they are, so just keep your mouth shut. And so... this is what I'm reading in the Bible. So, I'll read in the Bible. These are the words. 21, Galatians 4. You've come just on time. Just on time. That was introduction. Yeah, introduction. But here's the deal. Your sweater, Mom. Your sweater's on the chair. Get your sweater. If you're a nice person, get that sweater. All right. So here it is. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, those desiring to be under the law. No, he's talking to the Jewish people because he's Jewish. And he was trained to be awesome. He was trained to be awesome. He could have been the high priest. He was trained to be the greatest teacher in his days, was a man named Gamaliel. And that guy trained him up to be the head honcho. He could have been king of the universe. The Jewish high guy. Wow! That was Paul. And he spoke, you know, Greek, Hebrew, Latin, Aramaic, you know, he spoke all the languages of the day. He's smart. He's real smart. So he was slated to be somebody. He could have been at the top. But instead, something happened to him. He fell off his high horse, fell on the dirt. And on the dirt, when you're on the dirt, when you're going to be great, but you're on the dirt, you have a little thought comes to you. Maybe you're not such a hot deal after all. When you're in the dirt, when you're down low like that, you realize, where's my horse? I don't know where that horse went, but he fell off the high horse. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And he went blind. He went blind. God, I can't see you. Well, of course not. Your eyes are in the dirt. I know, but I can't see. I can't see. Well, that's too bad because you're going to have to talk to me, young man. And so he had a little talk with him. And he said, I don't want you to change except your mind. Your mind is all messed up. You have total misunderstanding of the good news. You don't understand. I'm not an angry judge. I'm a loving father. Huh? What? I don't think so. You have vengeance, don't you? Well, yeah, against wicked. Well, I'm wicked. So even though Paul was not perfect, he knew that he had sin in him. He knew he had sin in him. And he knew he was, and his conscience told him, you're hauling off Christians so they can be killed or steal their goods or whatever else. And that's not right. And God was disappointed in that. So he said to him, I need to re-educate you. I need to renew your mind. I need to tell you the truth, set you free. How many know the truth sets you free? But not man's truth. It's not self-evident truth. It's not anything man calls truth. The man's a liar. Let God be true.
Amen.
And every man.
Amen.
I don't know, that probably includes me. Every man a liar. Are you a liar?
Yeah.
So it's simple. Most guys answer simply on that. Alex, are you a liar? Yeah?
Yes.
That's good. Didn't want to say yeah, but he did at least nodded his head. Jacob, are you a liar? Yeah, if you just tell one lie, you're a liar. Just one. But some people, they do them every day. I mean, they lie all the time to themselves, to other people, to God. Hypocrites. Trying to be what they're not. You can't be what you're not. You can only be what you are. What's that? Sinner. Rotten. No good. So, unless you are a sinner to the hilt, you'll not understand the good news today. The good news is that God made a promise. And that promise holds good, he says, for all eternity. It holds good for all eternity. If you believe on Jesus today, you'll be happy for the rest of your life. If you just believe on Jesus, happy is the man that trusteth in him. Happy is the man that trusteth in him. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set on thee. So there it is. I just solved all of life's problems. I just solved all of life's problems.
Amen.
That one is Isaiah 26:3. All of life's problems are just settled. I settled them. He shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, perfect peace, whose mind is set on thee, for he trusteth in him. So there it is, right there. I just settled everything. You want to be happy? It's a byproduct. Happiness, you can search for happiness your whole life and you'll never, 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 never find it. So everyone that wants happiness is disappointed. They get angry too about that. I thought my happiness was getting married. It's a big illusion. That's a big illusion. Yes, stupid. So that's stupid to do that. To imagine that happiness was getting married. It's a misery thing. It's a miserable thing. Especially if you thought you were able to love and the other person loved you back. That's so silly. Silly, silly, silly. Amen?
Amen.
Where's your friend?
He has work.
Oh, he always pays attention. He does. Yeah, until he's listening. So, our religion, sum it up in one word, promise. Lie, command. I like promises better than commands if they come from God. I'd rather have God make a promise to me, because he can't lie, than a command, which I would say I'd do it, but I'd be a hypocrite, so I ain't saying it. I'm not saying it. And he never asked me to do it. He just said, no, I never give commands. What? Your whole Bible's full of them. They're full of commands, statutes, testimonies, laws, stuff like that. No, that wasn't for you. Did you read one of those? Yeah, I read them. They depressed me. And I never did them. And I'm not going to do them. Pooh. And he said, you're the guy I'm looking for. You're the guy I'm looking for. You seem to be needing a promise. Well, yeah, I'm a rotten, no good sinner. I need a promise because I don't have anything promising. You remember when Abraham came to the promised land? It was a pile of rocks. There's nothing there. If you go to Israel today, there's a few trees, but there's nothing there. And they just grow on thin soil. It's just a pile of rocks. It's all, you know, rocks. I mean, everywhere you go, it's rocks. And so it's on the San Andreas Fault or some kind of fault somewhere. That must be California. This one is, I don't know, it's a big fault somewhere. And the whole world, in fact, the Dead Sea, it's called dead because everything that goes into it dies. That's why it's a Dead Sea. But it's full of salt. And it's full of, I don't know, molybdenum. It's full of all kinds of minerals and metals that all shifted down from upper, get right down there, and it all dies. So it's called a Dead Sea. And so that Dead Sea, and you can actually float on it. It has so much salt in it. You can just float on it, just lie back, and you cannot sink. You cannot sink. You can just float around. You can be all muddy. You'll be all muddy. And so their greatest wealth today comes out of that Dead Sea. So it's dead, but actually there's a lot of profit in it. Because everybody for industry needs those special metals. They're in the soil. They're in the lake there. Because they've all settled. And now that the lake has gone down, it's one third of the size since I first saw it. How long ago was that? Long time. 76, I think. Was it 76? 76. First time I didn't lie. When Peggy backs it up, that means that's accurate.
You don't lie, you just remember.
Yeah, I'm not really lying. I just don't remember anything. Anyway, it was all the way up to... there's a special city there. Can't think of what it is.
Kilmer?
No. Whatever that city is. Jericho. Special city. That's where you get baptized now. That I like that site better than the traditional site. I like that site right there. Because it's rough, you know, it's not finished out nice or whatever. But they do have some steps people can sit on. But the Arabs are on the other side. So they're right there. You can see them. I mean, it is a few yards away. And they don't like you. So Jericho, that's kind of an Arab city. That's one of their cities. They're right over there. And you have to actually go over there and get dressed or something like that. Then come back to the river. I forget how it's arranged. Well, however it's arranged, it's like that. Anyway, I'm getting lost right now. Oh, yeah. Promise. You can stand on promises. You can predicate everything in your life based on a promise. You can actually found everything on a promise. And stand on it. You can stand upright. You are actually declared righteous if you believe the promises that Jesus said. He doesn't thank you for behaving yourself. He thanks you because you didn't behave yourself. He's so grateful that you were a sinner. Did you know that the God who promises you stuff is a God who loves sinners. hates what they do, but he says he'll take care of it. Because he wrote the law for Jesus. So Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So since the Bible tells me so, all the other religions are false. Lying. Because they go against the Bible. Because in the Bible, Jesus made a promise. Whatever God promised Abraham, I'll do it. What did he promise him? That God himself would provide the lamb for a burnt offering. Oh, me. That's me. You're going to kill me, and I'll rejoice in that day. That your joy might be full. You'll be laughing all the way to the bank if I die for you. Because I'm doing it. I'm going to be the lamb that not only forgives your sin, also cleanses you from all sin, also perfects you so that you don't have any sin, so that when I come back, you'll be like a bride, ready, prepared. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, no stain, no perversion, no sin, nothing. You'll be righteous. And then I'll take you to heaven, and we'll rule over the Jews and the Gentiles on earth.
Wow, praise Jesus.
That'll be awesome. That's a promise. I like promises.
Hallelujah.
Especially when God makes them, because he can't lie. Boy, if I catch him in a lie, and he's out. He better not be a liar, like all the other gods are liars. Why? Because they're no gods at all. They aren't any gods at all. They're idols. Idol means nothing. It's vanity. It's foolishness. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But there is. And those that thought he died years ago. 1963, Time Magazine had a big display on that. God is dead. I know it. I know it exactly, because I looked at that and said, even though I don't believe in God, he can't be dead because I didn't go to his funeral. And I wasn't a Christian. But God is dead. That's what they said. God is dead. That's silly. How can God be dead? How can God be dead? I didn't attend the funeral. How can I be a minister? I mean, if he's dead, I'm out of a job. Because I only came here to read the Bible. And, you know, you could go to Yale, and they have so many courses you can take, not like normal seminaries, you just take, it's kind of like laid out, you take 4 or 5 courses, that's it. But at Yale, you could be there 125 years, never read the Bible, and graduate as a minister. You'd never read the Bible. Because they have all kinds of courses on, you know, poetry and, you know, whatever, and politics and so on and so forth. Being good, behavior. It's all on behavioral modification. Everything today is behavioral modification. Everything, behave yourself. Just behave yourself. You know, fit in with, you know, whatever's going on. Well, I don't want to. I've always been a rebel. I always rebelled against any rules. You make up a rule, I'll break it. So when I took philosophy, the first rule was you have to get introduction to philosophy. So I skipped that. What is the last course they teach? Plato Seminar. When you're a senior, you take Plato Seminar. I'll start with that. And you know what? I never read it. I never did introduction. I didn't have to. Because I knew everything by the time I did Plato Seminar. And everything else, Schleiermacher and all that stuff. I know so many people, and I could reduce them to a sentence like that. Freud, whoever, name them. I know their whole philosophy, their whole theology, and so on and so forth. And I still read at least 4 to 5, maybe 6, maybe 7 hours a day. Still. So I'm always reading junk. It is junk. I read it because it's junk. Because I like to read the way the Satanists, you know, taught people. So I like all the bad guys, you can think of them, I've read them. all the provocateurs and atheists and so on. I read all their stuff. Camus. Did you ever read Camus? Nobody here, if you're educated, you have to read Camus. He was an atheist, a French atheist. C'est la guerre. It's the war. He said this, can sum him up easy. He said this, that existentialism means that your existence is given, but your essence must be chosen. Isn't that funny? One day he had a character in one of his novels. He was a novelist because he didn't like to preach sermons. He's a novelist. And this novel was about a man named Mersault. M-E-R-S-A-U-L-T. Mersault. And this Mersault, he was just walking along, and someone said to him, "Hey, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, your mother died." "Oh yeah? Okay. What's for supper tonight?" And I love that guy. That guy was me. That guy was me. I was like that. I was totally like that. If you had said, "My mother died," I'd say, "Well, what's for breakfast? I mean, what are we doing right now? When's the funeral?" 2 days. Okay. Well, I'll try to be there. Because I didn't care. I didn't care about my mother. I didn't care about my sister. I didn't care about anybody. I didn't care. I just wanted to survive. I just wanted to make it. And since I can lie, cheat, and steal without any guilt, it's easy. Because there's nothing I can't do. I don't have any code. I have no standard. So when you grow up like that, because now I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and I love Jesus with all my heart and soul and strength. How can a guy like God love a guy like me, who had nothing going for him? I was a zero, 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 and I never, ever, ever, ever thought I'm a good guy. I've done something decent. I never did anything decent, and I never was good, and I didn't want to be good, and I loved being mean and nasty and cold. It didn't bother me at all. I could swear, which I used to swear a lot, I could swear and say, you know, and it didn't bother me at all that somebody dies in front of me. I don't care. Even if it was a friend. Well, too bad for you. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You should be clever like me. I'm not dead. And you know, I've made it all this way, 77 years, and I'm still not dead. I'm amazed. I'm totally amazed. Like, I should have been in jail. I should have been fined. I should have, you know, lost everything. Instead, I'm alive. What for? Maybe God has a purpose for me. So if you have a rotten, no good life, Jesus loves you. If you're nice, he doesn't. Well, he loves you like he loves everybody, but he can't talk to you because you think you're good. You think you can establish your own righteousness. You think, "I'm basically good, but every once in a while I do some bad things." No, that's not true. That's not in the Bible. In the Bible, you hate God without a cause. Everybody does. Everybody. If you were born of Adam, if you were born out of Adam's seed, you got that sin in you. "Well, I don't know what Adam did. He ruined my life." He didn't ruin your life. You just make a decision. You get to decide. Because your existence is given. Who gave? I don't care who gave it. But it's given. You're here. But your essence must be chosen. In other words, who are you going to be? And Mersault, he decided, you know, his mother didn't make any difference at all. He was oblivious to it. It didn't affect him. Same with me. I don't care about my mother, my father, or anybody. Nobody likes me, and I don't like them. So it's no big deal. I don't even feel bad about it. It's just objective. I'm trying to survive. So I excused everything I did as survival. Do you know that the law of self-preservation, that's a big law. I got that one down. I'm going to preserve myself no matter what. Other people they lie and cheat and steal and they get caught. I'm not. But even though one day I was, I got out of it because I knew Christians had to forgive you. So that was smart of me to go to a Christian college where people have to forgive you. I didn't even believe in that, but I just cried a little bit. I'm sorry, you know, and I was such an actor. I was a great actor. I could adapt anybody's language, lingo. I could just hear another language, and I could speak just like that. Just make it up. Just can invent it. Because most people don't even know a lot of languages, so you can just make them up. But now that I speak in tongues, I don't need to. I just speak in a tongue, and I have no idea what I'm saying. But, you know, I just say things and, you know, I have no idea what I'm saying. Well, how do you know it's Jesus? I have no idea. I have no idea if it's Jesus or Jim or the devil. I don't really know. But I love doing it because it builds me up. The Bible says, and I build everything on the Bible promises that if you believe his words, you have eternal life. Do you believe that? Yes. I do. So everybody here, I know, except for a couple of people sitting in the second row, nobody is wicked as I am. I never minded being wicked. I just didn't want to get caught because then they'd take away your liberty. Even if they take away stuff, I don't want to lose anything. I want to get anything and keep everything and have everything. How many know that's not your style, but that was my style. And if you be honest, that's your style too. You're just exactly like me. Did you know that all men are equal? All men are equal. All men are equal. Did you know that? So if all men are equal, well, they're created equal. But how you choose is going to determine your life. And so Jesus made his decision. He loves me. He made that known to me. It didn't mean anything to me. Didn't make anything. I didn't even know what that meant. Have no idea. I mean, if you love me, you're not doing so well. I don't see how you're keeping that promise. You love me? Well, get busy, because you haven't impressed me with your love. Today, I'm in love with him, completely in love with him. I mean, 100%. Why? Because he changed my life. How did he do it? He showed me this versus this. Choose this and you live. Choose this and you die. Well, I wanted to know what the this was. Promise. I make promises. If you believe my words, you'll have eternal life. Wow. I don't think Christians are reading this Bible. If I were a Christian, and I'm not, but if I were a Christian, I'd go for life rather than death. And if I had my choice, I'd go for life. Especially eternal life. You can never end. It's world without end.
Amen.
Once he makes you a new creation, you're not Jew. You're not Gentile. You're a new creation. Wow, that's me. New creation.
Amen.
So I can say all day long about what I used to be, but I ain't no more. I'm not that anymore. I'm now a lover. I love my wife. I love enemies. I bless my enemies. I love everybody. I don't want any harm to come to anybody. It's kind of like I'm kind of God-ish.
Amen.
Why? Because I don't have any enemies. People that don't like me, but I like them for not liking me. As a matter of fact, people that hate me and use me and abuse me, I pray for them. I love them. And if you pray for someone that's done you dirt, done bad to you, if you pray for them, you begin to love them. As a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you begin to love them. Because the Bible says that. Whatever the Bible says, that's what is the truth that will set you free. So, are you ready to read this Bible? All right, here it is. Galatians 4, 21. Tell me, those desiring to be under the law, those desiring, Jewish people, do you not hear the law? Faith cometh by hearing. Do you not hear the law? For it has been written down. This is a written law. Abraham had two sons. So there it is. It's written. He had two sons. Who knows the first son? He actually had many sons, by the way. Keturah bore him a whole lot of sons. That's the, you know, the other child of the human family. By the way, all human families are related to Abraham. I don't know if you know this. You were first related to Adam. That's where you got your sin. Now you're related to Abraham. That's where you get your faith. He's the father of faith. And so he had these two sons first. But he actually had many after that. After Sarah died, he went and married Keturah. And so that's the other part of the family of man. So the whole world, whether you're Hamitic, Semitic, or Japhetic, Jupiter, if you're any of those, you got some sons that are named after Abraham. In other words, all the families of the earth will be blessed by Abraham. It's one of the promises God made to him. Made seven promises to him. I will show you a land. Not tell you about it. Not give you a map. I will show you personally a land that I'm going to give to you. Really? And he didn't know it was the worst land. It was the worst land. It's Israel today. But it was the worst land. And all the Canaanites lived there. And the Jebusites and the Amalekites and so on and so forth. All those bad people lived there. And they were polluted to the gills. So if you ever wanted to see an uncivilized, debauched, you know, place, that was it. Worshipping sticks and stones and whatever. And so said, I'm going to show you the land. He thought it was promising until he got there. He's like, whoa, this is the land you're showing me? This stinks. These people are not good. And then not only that, if anyone curses you, I'll curse them. And if anyone blesses you, I'll bless them. So anyone who blesses Israel, and I do, I bless Israel, pray for Israel, love Israel. But I differ from them because they're under a law. So if any of you are under a law, can be any Protestant religion, anything, you can be there. You can be under a pressure or law or think you have to do something to please God. I don't think that. I've never thought that. I only have what I have, and I didn't have anything. So I had nothing. I grew up dirt poor. Dirt poor. Meaning you don't have anything. And we lived in the crummiest part of Chicago. And it was the richest county in the whole United States. When I grew up, DuPage County was the richest county in the whole United States. DuPont lived there, etc. I knew their houses. They're all there. And the mafia lived right across big golf courses. That they lived right there. All those places. So I knew, well, crime does pay. And apparently being a big mogul, that pays too. So those were people that had wealth. And so I think the mafia money might have helped. Because all my Uncle Tom, mafia, Italian. My Uncle Vic, mafia, Italian. My Uncle Duke, Irish mafia. He was a duke. That was one the head guy. Big guy. And he was always getting married to somebody else. And my whole family was evil. I mean, polluted to the gills. My mom had me out of wedlock, one night stand, Never saw that guy again. So that's it. But when I met him, I told my mom, call him. Just call him. I'm not going to call him. Well, you told me his name and Peggy looked it up. And I knew the town he was from, town next door to us, where all the mafia were gathered. Anyway, he worked for Jimmy Hoffa, my father. So he was a bad, bad person. And he told me his story. The first thing I met him, I said, you know, look, I love you, Dad. I don't know who you are and what you are, but just tell me your whole story. And don't dress it up. Just tell me the truth. Because we haven't met before, so this is the first time. Just tell me the whole truth. No religion, stuff like that. Just get right to it. And he told me the whole truth. He was raised Catholic. And, you know, he was a bad person and so on and so forth. And then I realized, thank God you're not my dad. Because he is bad. And I realized I had so many similarities to him, and I never met him. And I have so many similarities to him. Wow.
It's,
and so it was like amazing. But the first thing I ever said to him is, I love you, Dad. You're my dad. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. Just like God, I love you unconditionally. He cried. And the last time I saw him, I only saw him three times. The last time I saw him, he cried again. Because he said to Evelyn, his wife, I think they left on Thursday to get to the hospital because he's dying. They called me. I guess that's when I had my Thursday night meetings. Yeah. When they called me, I was here in Dallas at the Biblical Arts Center. You probably were there, Lynn. And I said to everybody, I have a note that my dad is dying, and I prayed about it to God by reading that note. And I said, I want to finish what I'm doing, but they say he's going to die right now, so I could go on an airplane and get there because he's not going to live through the night. But God, I'm going to ask you, I'll leave in the morning after I finish what I'm talking about here. So give me 20 minutes with him. Nobody heard all this. I'm just saying. This is what I said as I'm reading that. Gee, I hate to interrupt what I'm doing here, but it's my dad. He's dying. Never knew him. Never had anything to do with him. But he is dying now, except those two times. And when he died, I said, and I want him off drugs. I don't want him anything morphined up or whatever. Just pull all those stuff out, and I want sober 20 minutes. I asked that to God. Anyway, so I went ahead and finished, and the next morning I left. And the first day, nothing. Second day, nothing. And I was getting angry at God. God, you promised 20 minutes sober. So I want to talk to him. Say, Jesus loves you, so do I. And tell him, if you want to meet mom and me in heaven, then if you want to meet us, you can't believe in your religion, Jehovah Witnesses. So he'd gone from Catholic to now Jehovah Witness, another legalistic system where you have to really, really, really be good. Behave yourself. So that was my sister's religion, because she hated the abuse she took. And she hated that and just joined anything else that wasn't like the pastor, because the pastor had no sympathy for her. And so on and so forth. So I'm getting lost in my details here. Whatever it is, let's get back to the Bible. Whatever it is, it all came out good. And I hope to see him in heaven. And my stepfather and my one-night father, I hope to see them all in heaven. Because I witnessed to all of them. Tell me those desiring to be under the law, do you hear the law? For it hath been written, Abraham two sons. One out of the slave woman, Hagar, and the other out of the free woman, Sarai. Do you know Sarah? Sarai, not the A-H on the end. Sarai means strength. So she was strong. She was strong. She had strength. But it was human strength. Human strength. And so, but then when God came and talked to him and said, you're going to have a baby in the spring, when she was 89, and then next spring, you're going to have a baby. And then Abraham laughed, but he laughed because, hey, God's going to bless me with a son from Sarah, who now is named Sarah, which means something special, a princess, God's princess. That's better, to go from having your own strength to having being princess. So you're going to marry prince. So she used to call Abraham Lord. I've tried to teach that to Peggy, but she hasn't caught on with that idea. Lord Jim, you know, it just sounds right, but no, no. She doesn't want to do that, even though I'm worthy. It's time to go. Quarter after. Well, I've flubbed up again. So I'll how much I have? Two minutes? Peggy is my signal. And indeed, he is the slave woman who's been born according to flesh, and the one out of the free woman through promise. So Isaac was the son of promise, second son. Whereas Ishmael, he's the son of what? What's he the son of? The slave woman, so he's enslaved to the same law. Because in Egypt, she's from Egypt. So she's from Egypt, and so she raised him now to be under the law. If you want to please Pharaoh, you bring back 10 hands of the enemy, and he'll give you a golden collar. So the collars that you get from him is you have to work for it. You have to labor for that. You have to prove yourself that you're worthy. Here's 10 enemies and here's their hands. I chopped them off and here they are. Wow, Pharaoh is pleased with that. So he'd give that person a reward. In this world, the only reward you get is hell. Did you hear what I just said? And so the only reward you get is hell. If you're just a natural person trying to please God, there's nothing you can do to please him. I mean, everything you do is, it's not perfect. It's just not perfect. Because there's nothing in the Bible except, be holy as I'm holy, be perfect as I am perfect. Well, that's the standard. And I was so far from that, a billion zillion miles. I was far from that. I didn't want to be one Christian. I didn't want to be a Christian. I like doing what I do. And I don't need you. I don't need you. There's no room for you in my life. Yeah, I don't. You've never done anything for me, and I ain't doing anything for you. Till I read the Bible. Then I read the Bible. I went, God, there's a lot of good news in here. And it seems to be for sinners. That's me. I never read it and say, I'm not a sinner. I read it and said, yeah, I'm everything you say not to be, I am. The only thing I'm not is a hypocrite and a liar like those people. I'm not a hypocrite and a liar because I know I'm garbage. That when my mother birthed me, because she didn't expect to birth me after 4 abortion attempts, when she birthed me, she didn't know what to do. And I don't know what her feelings were. I don't know what she thought. But she raised the person that would someday be a minister. Then she was so proud of me. She was so proud that I became a minister. The man of the cloth. So these are cloths. And so the man of the cloth. Wow, that was a big deal. And she wasn't even a Christian at that time. Went to the Anglican church, and that's kind of a cold church, and so it's just all ritual and It's kind of a Catholic service, but Protestant theology, kind of mix it all together. And so that's because the King of England decided to become the head of the church. So he wanted to be the Pope. So he reduced the Pope and removed England out of it. And he wanted all the monastery wealth. So he closed all the monasteries, took all their wealth. That's the way to build up your bank account. So the government was confiscating from the religious people all their wealth. And they own a lot of England. They own tons of it. So he just said, hey, I'm going to make a law because I'm king. I'll just make a law and then get all this stuff. And so the government today has more than you have. Did you know that? Your government has trillions of dollars and you have little because you're paying the government. You don't know it with you giving nickels and dimes, but they're wealthy. And they can do anything they want. They can handle Harvey and Irma and, you know, Marie and so on. They can do all that stuff and still have tons of money left over to build a wall. They can do anything they want to do because this is a rich country. But it's built on your poverty because now you don't have as much unless you live in Dallas. Now, Dallas is very rich. Did you know Fort Worth is equal? You don't know that. But Fort Worth actually has as much as Dallas, even though you have more people. Because in Fort Worth, it's only 20, 25 families that have all the wealth. But in Dallas, it's 300, 400, 500, you know, families that have all the wealth. So if you're set free by Jesus, you're free forever and ever and ever. I live by the promises. Did you know if you know the truth, you're going to be set free? Not only in the next world, now. You're set free now. You are free now. Because it's a New Testament. Testament is different than covenant. The covenant, actually, covenant is a big word in the Old Testament, berit, B-E-R-I-T-H. Berit, that's covenant. But you know what? There isn't any difference. Everything in the Old Covenant is really the Old Testament. So we call it Testament. You know why? Blood. The difference between a promise and a command is it's not just the kind of document you have, Testament, Covenant. They're the same word. There's no different words. Testament means somebody died for you to inherit. Covenant means you entered into it. But the old covenant, palaia, diatheke, the old covenant, is actually just the Old Testament. Why? Because you have to be cut. God entered into a covenant with Israel and blood was shed. The blood of goats and bulls that was shed. And so he winked at that. He winked at that. And meaning, I'll accept it if they actually obey outwardly my law. But it's not from the heart. It's not perfect. Your works are not perfect. And Christians' work today is not perfect. You have a new heart, but you don't have a new soul, you don't have a new body. You'll get those when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not today. You don't have that right now. Your soul is being renewed, becoming renewed, but it's not yet. And your behavior is based upon your soul, not your heart. Every once in a while the heart comes through, but it's rare. It's rare. That's why Christians are rare, because there aren't many Christians that are mature. They're immature. They're Christians, but they're just lukewarm, and then they always fall back into legalism or license. If you don't go forward, chair 5 and then chair 6, if you don't do that, you're not going to be perfected. And he wants you to be perfected, so when he comes back, he has a bride, and they're numberless. The Gentiles that will receive Jesus Christ are numberless. You cannot even number them. Probably wealthier than America. How many know that everything is God's? Everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. So God owns everything. Everything is a creature of God. And everybody will have to answer, even the devil himself. Just another bad guy. And now everybody's feeding off the devil, and you can see it. Lawlessness is everywhere in the world. It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. But did you know that God made a promise about that? That if you actually follow God with all your heart and soul and strength, by faith, built on the promise, if you actually do that, you won't be part of the Great Tribulation. You won't. And I believe here in Texas, we have a good shot at that. This could be the place people rally. This could be a place, because there's almost 20 to 25, maybe even 30 states that follow our example. Because of that, this could be a place, you could call it a refuge. But I don't know where you're going to be. But wherever it is, I don't care. I'm going to be there. I'm going to miss out on the tribulation. Why? Because I love Jesus with all my heart and soul and strength. And I love my neighbor as myself. And I have bear no malice toward anybody. I'm not wanting anyone to suffer. Let my enemies flourish. You know, let everything go on. God's got it all rigged for my sake. Now, I don't just believe the Bible. I believe the Bible continueth until today. So that the best has been saved to the last. For Christians, we're the holy nation. We're the holy nation that God is talking about. Not America. Not America is the holy nation. But Christians are the holy nation. So wherever Christians are, they're my brother and sister. That's it. So God sets us free from this truth that everything, stand on the promises, you'll have everything God wanted for you. Is it wealth you're looking for? Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking, that's a byproduct. If you just do what God says, he'll give you everything. With Christ Jesus, he'll give you everything. Everything the Gentiles seek, you'll get all that. That'll just be a gift. That's not something you have to earn. It's just a gift. He'll give it to you. It's a gift. And you don't have to earn it. Just give it. Now, but what you do have to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you. Way back then, when he died, the will and testament is now in effect, not the covenant. The will and testament is now in effect. Why? Because the word covenant is not a separate word. Berit is testament. Because the testimony is in it. That's the witness. That's the testimony of God. His testimonies and his statutes, you have to obey those, it says in the Bible. Well, that's easy. Jesus did it. Well, that's easy. Jesus did that. And he loves the neighbor as himself. He did it all. He did it all for me. He did it for you. So you also, no guilt. There's no condemnation for them that were in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How'd you do that? By reading. By reading and hearing. Faith cometh by hearing the rhema, the come alive word. That's how it works. If you don't read every day, if you don't read as a Christian, you're going to get weak. You won't have any nourishment. You won't have anything to keep saying, don't live by this world, live by the truths of God. So every day you read the Bible, it strengthens you. It makes you so strong. That's your strength that now becomes your God's prince or princess. Because he come back Prince of Peace. Peace on earth will come after he comes back. As soon as he comes back, he'll have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that glorifies God. And that is the gospel. Everything we have is built on these two sons. The one, promise. The other, command, law, obey. I don't believe in obedience. I believe Jesus obeyed for me. He believes in me. He also obeyed, and he learned obedience by what he suffered. Because he saw heaven, and he didn't see it on earth. So seeing heaven and not seeing it on earth, that's suffering. The suffering is not you suffer. The suffering is you see heaven and then you don't see heaven in your neighbor. You don't see heaven on earth. Because peace has not come on earth right now. We have it because we have peace with God. So we already have the King of Kings, Lord of Lords living over us. And he commands me, not as Savior, because he forgives me there, but then he cleanses me, and that's Lordship. And then he perfects me, that is his ultimate, we shall see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, what we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, not only the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, that forgives all your sins, that cleanses you from all sin, that perfects you from sin, but comes back to marry you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You will now rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. And there'll be no bad guys. As soon as he comes back, bad guys are over. Bad guys will never rule again. You'll be ruling over those that rule over the earth. You'll be in heaven ruling over the earth. And all the Gentiles will be listening. Now, you can pray for them. That's the only hope they have. Pray for them. As you're ruling over them, make sure your prayers are, those are enemies, those are opponents. They're trying to follow the devil. Lord, be merciful to them. He has to answer that prayer. How many know that when you ask God for something, he might give it to you? Especially, just check out your relatives. How many have relatives that are no good? I mean, they're not believers. And they don't believe in that. They believe you have to earn your way, legalists, or they believe, you know, you can just live the way you want. In either case, they need help. Whether they're cold or whether they're lukewarm, they can only be made hot by us and our prayers. And the prayer of a righteous man hath great power in its effects. Hope you're blessed by this fourth chapter. There's two sons. You are the son of Abraham. You know why? Because you believe in Isaac. You believe that Isaac was the key to the Messiah. That's why when he said, kill your own son, and he saw the knife, immediately the angel said, whoa, whoa, don't lay any hand on that boy. Your son's going to live because Jesus dies. So he spared Isaac, and that's the one that, and Abraham knew, oh, because he's wrong. He knew, hey, if God has me kill him, because he's good, God is good, God is benevolent, my son has to be the Messiah, so maybe he'll resurrect him right away. Oh yeah, he did, in Jesus. So his death from the heart is your death to the soul. In other words, he doesn't want to kill you physically. He did that already. He wants you to die psychologically. Give him your will, your mind, your emotions, your behavior. Give that to him. Because he died for all that. Forgive it, cleanse it, perfect it. You'll be ready when he comes back. Amen. Praise God. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Amen. Randy?